Hey everybody, I just want to say happy Easter. So glad that you're joining with us this great and historical day. Easter Sunday, so glad that you can join us online if you're not in person today. Today we are finally celebrating our great Easter offering. We are receiving this special offering above and beyond our regular giving today. 100% of those funds are going to One Day to Feed the World through our missions partner, Convoy of Hope, where they are feeding children all around the world, and it's the best gift that we can give Jesus on this great historical day, to give to the least of those. And so thank you for participating in our Easter offering. You can give online, you can send it in the mail, you can text to give, all of the regular ways to give. Just make sure you mark that special offering, Easter offering, or One Day, and we'll make sure it gets to where it needs to go. So again, I want to welcome each and every one of you on this great Easter Sunday 2021. It's hard to imagine that last Easter, just 1 year ago, that we were not even meeting in person. So it is so good to be together. It's so good to be able to celebrate the risen Lord together as a church. Well, we are in a series called Redeemed. And in this series, we have been looking at a series of pictures that speak to salvation, our redemption. And if you remember all the way back 3 weeks ago, we talked about a Hebrew covenant and what it means when we come into a covenant with Jesus in this great transaction that takes place in that relationship with Him. And then week two of this series, the picture of salvation was that of a gavel, a judge's gavel. And what does judgment have anything to do with our great redemption? Well, it's because of today, because Jesus died and He rose again on this day over 2,000 years ago, that God now can declare all of humanity not guilty. And so when you receive Jesus, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, and you have been declared not guilty. So that was week two. And then last week, the picture of salvation, the picture of redemption that we looked at was actually that of an auctioning block. And we looked at the story of Hosea and Gomer and how God is constantly buying us back, and He's buying us from this evil, deplorable device called the auctioning block. You can always catch up on our entire series, newlifeforkokomo.org, and get caught up on the redemption series. And today, this Easter Sunday, we're going to conclude this series, and we're going to wrap it all up and celebrate Easter together today. And so, you know, I heard a story about a man that traveled to the Holy Land, and he traveled there with his wife and with his mother-in-law. While they were there, his mother-in-law died. And so the undertaker asked the man, "Would you like your mother-in-law to be sent back home and buried there? It'll cost you $5,000. Or for $150, we can bury your mother-in-law right here in the Holy Land. So which would you like to do?" And the man thought about it for a second, and he said, "Well, I'll have her sent home and buried her there for $5,000. And the undertaker, he said, are you sure? For only $150, your mother-in-law can be buried right here in this special place, the Holy Land." And the man looked at the undertaker and he said, "Listen, 2,000 years ago, there was a man who died here. He was buried here. And 3 days later, rose again. And I'm not taking any chances." So such love to all of our great mothers-in-law out there. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. And so, but the last 3 weeks, we looked at these different pictures of salvation. And today on Easter, we are going to finish up. We're actually going to look at three common perceptions of God. And I want to show you how those three common perceptions of God are wrong concepts about Him. And then I'm going to give you one response to the love of God. So three misconceptions about God, and then one response. You know, these three things that we're going to talk about today, these three things, they keep people far from God. They keep people far from Him. But Jesus, He came to help close the gap, to close the gap, because God desires to close the distance. And I pray that this weekend at our church, at churches all around the world that are celebrating Easter, that God would close the gap on the distance between his people and him today. That's my prayer for you, that you would feel his nearness and his closeness today. And so if you are watching us online, or maybe you've come in person today, I'm so glad that you are connecting with New Life Church today, because New Life Church is on a mission to reach people that are far from God. And God's desire is that there be no distance between his people and him. So we are not here to judge you. Jesus didn't come because he hated sinners. No. Jesus came and died this weekend all those years ago because of his incredible love for you and me. And so we're going to look at these three things. The first thing is we're going to actually look at the fence of separation. You see, some people, they think that there is this sort of fence that separates them and God. That because they, and it's as though that because of their bad behavior, because of the evil they've done, or they're just a bad person, that they deserve to be on this side of the fence. And so God is always distanced. God is always separated from them because they're not good enough for God. They're always separated from God. So this fence of separation, there's this fear that this view that God is always distant. I'm on this side, I'm a bad person, and God is on that side. Even though, I want you to know, God wants no distance between you and him. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." So that's what Easter is all about. That God sent his son to come and dwell among us. His name was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. There's no distance anymore. There's no distance in that. Now, all of us at one time were far from God, but it's through what Jesus did on this weekend. It's because Jesus came, he died on the cross, he rose again. Now there can be no distance between you and God. So, do you know why this is a wrong picture of God? I'll tell you why this is a wrong concept about God, that I'm over here and God's over there. I'm over here because I'm bad and he's far away. I can't reach him. I'll tell you why this is a wrong concept of God. The reason why this is a wrong concept of God is because even before Jesus came, all those years ago, even before Jesus, all the way in the Garden of Eden, if you've ever read the beginning of the Bible, there's this story about Adam and Eve. And if you've been in church before, you're familiar with this story. And Adam and Eve, God told them that they could eat from any tree, but just don't do this one thing. And if you ever had kids, and if you ever tell your kids, just don't do this one thing, what do? They always do that one stinking thing. And so Adam and Eve, they sinned, and it was the first sin humanity had ever had a taste of. And because of their shame and their guilt, they try to hide from God. And this is what you and I have done. We try to hide from God. We think that we're in our guilt and in our shame, we hide and there's this separation. But this is a wrong concept of the love of God, because even before Jesus in this garden, when God used to come and he would converse and talk to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, but then one day, God shows up and he says, "Adam, where are you?" And God sought after Adam and Eve after they had failed. You think God knew that they failed? Of course God knew that they had failed. God knew that they had done the one thing he told them not to do. But yet, even after they failed, God sought after Adam and Eve. He said, "Where are you?" And then they noticed their nakedness and God dressed them. So here's what I want you to know, that even way, way, way before Jesus, all the way back in the garden, God has jumped the fence. God has jumped the fence in search for you. God jumped the fence saying, "Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you?" God has jumped the fence. So now there is nothing that separates us from the love of God because Jesus has come. The cross has now built a bridge where we have access to the Father. And so if you think there is a fence that separates you and God, the reality is it's just in your head. There is nothing, no thing that separates you from the love of God. And there, and God is as close to you as a whisper. All you have to do is call out to him. There's nothing separating you. God wants no distance between you and him. So this fence of separation, it is a wrong concept of God. The second picture I want to give you that people have as a way to think about God is this ladder. I call this the ladder of good works because people try to get to God. They envision that God is somehow up there. And the only way I can get up there is if I am good enough. And so we try to maybe be charitable. Maybe we go to church on Easter Sunday or maybe we even go to church on Christmas. But then, then we mistreat our wife. And then we fall to temptation. And then there's this frustration that people have and they realize I'll never ever reach the top. Because every time I get a good couple steps in, life is going well. I'm trying to change my habits, trying to change my behavior. And then I just seem to stumble and fall and doubt and become critical. The ladder of good works, I'm sorry to tell you, but the ladder of good works will never get you access to the Father. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For it is by grace we have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. It's not by works so that no one can boast." You see, the ladder of good works, the reason why this doesn't work, the reason why this is a wrong concept, is because there is no work. There is no good work that you can ever do to find favor with God. You see, too many people have chased this lie that they have to work and work and get the junk cleaned out of their life so God will accept them. There's never enough good work that you could do for God to accept you. That is the whole reason why God sent his son Jesus, because Jesus lived the perfect life you and I will never ever live. And then it's not about this works anymore. It's simply about faith in him. Because what Jesus accomplished, it is now done for all time. There's nothing else that has to be done. Some of the last words Jesus spoke when he hung on the cross, he said the words, "It is finished." And so if it is finished, there's nothing for you to do except just put your faith and trust in him and stop trying to climb the ladder of good works. So the ladder of good works will never get you there. Jesus has already done it. The third picture that people have of their idea of God is that of this trash can, this garbage can. Because some people think God could never accept me because I've already wasted my life. My life is just rubbish. And because my life is rubbish, because I have failed, I have made mistakes, God could never accept me because when God sees me, he sees that. And who could love garbage? Who could love trash? Who could love the fact that I've wasted it all? I've wasted it all. And so if you live thinking that this is a representation of how God sees you, well, then you'll always be distanced from God. You'll always have a distance from God. Some people think, well, I'm too far gone for God to see me or for God to save me. But that's the great thing about the story of Jesus, that God sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then he took upon himself the iniquity of us all. So Jesus, he took all of our garbage. He put it all on his shoulders as though it was his fault and not yours. He bore all of our shame, all of our guilt, all of our sin. And when he went to the cross, then he took the punishment that you and I deserve, friend. He took that for us. in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." And so if this is you and you say, "Man, I've wasted my life. My life is nothing but garbage. I've got nothing but trash to offer. Why would God see me? Why would God save me?" I would tell you that God specializes in creating new things. God specializes in bringing people out of darkness and into the light, taking people from the miry clay and putting their feet upon the rock. This is what God specializes in. In Isaiah chapter 61, it says, "He will exchange your ashes for beauty." So if you are afraid to let God see you like this, I want you to know he doesn't see that. He sees you for the beauty that you already are, the wholeness that he's already done, because it is finished. There's nothing you got to do. You don't got to clean yourself up. Listen, if you're sitting in our church right now, if you're tuning in online, I want you to know that we'll take you just the way you are because Jesus took us just the way we were. You don't got to deal with the trash right now. You just got to accept Jesus, and we'll help walk you through how to fix you up and get you better and get you following Jesus. But if you want to try to do it all on your own, then you'll always feel distance from God. So these three things: there's the fence of separation, that I have to be on that side and God's on this side. I'm really bad and God's really good. And so God will always be distant, and people are always trying to run and hide from God. People have been running and hiding from God. People have been running and hiding from his church because of this idea of separation. And listen, I know what happens in church, y'all. I've been doing this since I was a kid. People get hurt in church. People get disappointed in church. But don't go running behind the fence. God wants no distance from you. Let him embrace you. And then the ladder of good works. There is just no good works that are good enough for God to accept you. I want you to understand today, you don't got to climb this ladder of good works, that it is already done. Your life is not garbage. God sees you so valuable that he would send his one and only son to rescue you and exchange your filth and your ruggedness and give you beauty. That's what the Easter is, friend. That's what it is all about. So those are the three pictures of the wrong concept that people have about God. But here's the one response today. I want to talk about the open door. You see, Jesus says that he is the door. In John chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out, and they will find pasture." So Jesus, he says he's the door. And then Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and eat with him, and he and that person, they will eat with me." In other words, God wants to commune with you. God wants to build relationship with you. God wants to be with you. But this is what he is doing. He is knocking on the door of your heart. So three wrong concepts, but one response. This is the response. That on each and every one of us, God has been knocking on the door of our heart. When someone comes to your house and knocks on the door, what is it they want? They want access. They want to speak with you. They want to be invited in. And so Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart today. He's knocking. He's knocking. All you have to do is open the door. It's really that simple. All you have to do is open the door. Because here's what happens. If you open the door, your past will be forgiven. Maybe your past is just a pile of rubbish like we see here today. Your past will be forgiven if you open the door. The second thing is if you open the door, your future will be full of hope. Full of hope. I know that's what you want for your life. You want something to hope for. You're tired of the depression and the anxiety, but he will fill your future with hope. The third thing is this. If you open the door, your guilt will be gone. Your guilt will be gone. So here's what I want you to know. There is somebody at the door. Somebody's at the door. Today, will you answer? All you have to do is open the door. Here's what I know about my God. There is not a single heart he's not knocking on. The door of every heart. God doesn't look at some doors and say, that door doesn't look good enough. That door hasn't done enough good works. That door looks like it belongs in the garbage can. No, no, no. There's not a single door that Jesus isn't knocking on. He's knocking on the heart, the door of your heart today. And maybe you've been running and hiding from God. Maybe you've been on that side of the fence for far too long, thinking that God is distant. There is no fence. God jumped the fence. And maybe you've been trying to work for it, and you've been trying to, you know what? I don't need God. I'm going to try to do this on my own. I'm going to climb the ladder of good works, but you found there's not enough good to do. It really just makes you feel worse. So whatever, wherever you are today, God is knocking on the door of your heart. Will you respond today? You're not too much of a mess for him. He specializes in turning ashes into beauty. Will you respond to him today? It's very simple. Because it's these three things that actually make salvation complex. When we say you have to be good enough, when we say you have to clean up your life first, all of that just brings complexity to salvation, and that's what religion does. But our God, no, he'll take you right now. Sir, ma'am, he'll take you right now. All you have to do is let him in. I'm going to pray in a second, and I want you, maybe for the first time in your life or the first time in a long time, make this Easter not just a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, but the day that God resurrected you from death back to life, that you would feel hope again, you'd feel purpose again, you'd be forgiven of all the stuff that's plaguing your mind every night when you lay down, and that you, all the guilt would be gone. All of that when you simply open the door and let him in. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for everybody that's tuning in with us today on this Easter Sunday, 2021. I pray for those, God, that feel like you have been distanced from them, that they feel like they're not good enough to be near you. They've hidden from you. They've run from you. They've hidden from the church. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they have doubts. But God, I pray that today they would reach for the door and let you in. I pray for, God, those that are exhausted and tired from trying to climb the ladder of good works, and it just continues to show them that they're just not good enough. I pray that, God, that today you would reveal to them that it is already done. The work has been finished by your Son, Jesus. And I pray they reach for the door and let you in. God, I pray for those that find themselves to be invaluable, that there's no way that you could see them as worth it anymore because of the mistakes they've made in their past, maybe the failures they've made even the last few days. God, you can take their ashes and turn it into beauty. I pray that they would reach for the door and let you in. So right now, even if you're watching this, you can simply let them in by just saying, God, forgive me. Will you come into my life? Will you give me hope and give me purpose? And I'm going to do my best to follow you. I'm going to change my priorities, and I'm going to follow you. You can do that. You can just say that prayer in the quietness of your heart with me today. God, I love you. I pray that you would forgive me. I pray, God, you would help me with my doubts. I pray that you would continue to help me through the struggles I'm in. But today, I open the door and I let you in. And I don't know what that means yet, and I don't have all the answers, but I commit to searching and finding and following you. So God, would you please forgive me and give me hope and a future and forgive my past. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today in your own heart, man, you are brand new. You're brand new. And I celebrate you in the decision you made. I hope that you would tell us in the chat below. Tell us if you made that decision today. It's the best decision of your life. Hey, God bless you. I hope you have a great Easter, and we'll see you back here next Sunday.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vail Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.